One of the most famous lines of St. Augustine goes like this. He who hath created thee without thee will not justify thee without thee. There are lots of these in there, so let me say that again. He who hath created thee without thee will not justify thee without thee. In other words, each one of us was created without God's permission. He didn't ask us. But what Augustine is saying is he will not justify, he will not sanctify, he will not save us without our permission. And this is a beautiful truth. Because we are the kind of people for whom we are to be transformed in and by Christ. But such transformation requires our cooperation. Back in the 1940s, a man by the name of Dietrich von Hildebrand, who was on the Nazi hate list because of the courage with which he expressed his Catholic devotion, wrote a book called Transformation in Christ. And in this book, Dietrich von Hildebrand writes the following. The true Christian, though mindful of the fact that left to himself he would fall again and again, also knows that in baptism he has received from Christ a supernatural principle of holy life, and that through God's grace he shall and can become a new man, a new woman. And it's this next sentence that I want you to pay special attention to. He knows that God wills his cooperation in this process of transformation. We know this in our own lives. Most of us here were probably baptized when we were babies. And in a sense, we were baptized without our permission. That's not the case for everyone, but for most of us. But here's the thing. The reality of our baptism can actually lie dormant for decades. But once we begin to cooperate with grace, watch out. Because then change happens in our lives. And this is at the very heart of what Jesus says in that most famous statement, the summary of the law, where he speaks so beautifully about our cooperating with God so that we can truly love one another. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. There is only one God. And the amazing thing is that the Jewish people who had this revelation given to them were the only monotheistic religion in that part of the world. Everyone else believed in a multiplicity of gods. But here, the Lord Jesus Christ affirms the second person of the Blessed Trinity that there is only one God. I don't have time to go into this today. But the beautiful thing is that astrophysics, those who study the origins and the creations of the universe, are coming more and more to the conclusion that what Israel has known for centuries is true. And one physicist has said, when you get all behind the physicists, who you find behind them is a theologian. Because theology has understood for centuries what science is now affirming, that God is one. But as we think about the nature of who God is, Jesus says that in turn, we are to cooperate with God because we are to love him in the four dimensions of our life in terms of what it means to be human. We are to love him with all of our heart. Heart. This is the inner depths of you and me, the inner depths of the person, the wellspring from which our decisions and our actions flow. Another way of putting this is to say that we are to love God with all of our conscience. That it is to be alive. It is to be in tune with God who is one. But we are also to love God with our soul. And this is fundamental to a biblical understanding of what it is to be human. At the very moment of our conception, God gave to each one of us a soul. And at the very moment of our death, that same soul will leave this mortal frame. And one day, the soul will be resurrected and united with a body that will be forever. This is fundamental. For you see, every decision we make each day is a way in which we are forming our soul. Jordan Peterson, who's very well known these days, says, each little decision that we make is tipping the world closer to heaven or closer to hell. Every decision. So to love God with our heart, to love God with our conscience, is to say we want to choose to live in such a way that we are forming our soul so it is being tipped more and more towards heaven. Then Jesus adds another term. We are to love the Lord with all of our mind. To emphasize that our thoughts, our reasoning are to be animated by love for God. And this is a beautiful thing about our Catholic faith. Catholicism celebrates reason. Catholicism celebrates the use of our mind. There is no tradition that has names like Augustine, Aquinas, Benedict, St. John Paul II. Benedict the 16th, on and on and on the list goes. And do you know that the largest observatory in the world that looks into space is the Vatican Observatory that is in Arizona? Benedict the 16th said, we live in a world that is intelligible. And this helps us to understand that because the world is intelligible, because we can understand it, there is a great intelligence behind it. To love God with the heart, to love God with the mind, and to love God with the strength emphasizes that love for God is not a sentiment that arises spontaneously. I kind of just feel like it. No. To love God means that I am living my life purposefully. I am living my life intentionally. And beloved, I see most of you here at every weekday mass. This is one of the ways you are doing this. You are loving God with your strength by choosing to get out of bed, get into your car, and come here. God bless you for this. Because you see, all of this truly matters. Because there is only one God. And the one God came to us in the person of Jesus and says that I won't save you without your cooperation. But as we cooperate with our heart, with our mind, with our strength, what happens to our soul? It comes alive. And then we come to see exactly what the Lord said poetically through Hosea. I am like an evergreen cypress. Catch this next line. Your faithfulness comes from me. Did you hear that? Your faithfulness. It comes from me. Of course it does. Because without Jesus, there's no way we're going to be saved. But the more we cooperate with Jesus, what do we find out in our lives? Wow. He really is working in me. As St. Paul said in Galatians, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself from me. And so out of this love for God, we then are able to truly love our neighbor. And Jesus is the only one who brings together the Shema of Deuteronomy 6, which speaks about the nature of God, and Leviticus 19:18 that says we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And this is the beautiful thing about our faith. As we saw last Sunday with the Ten Commandments, the first three commandments are all about the Shema. No idolatry. Honoring the Lord's name. Honoring the Lord's day. And then the fourth commandment is the hinge. The honoring of parents. The honoring of family life. And out of that, Leviticus 19:18, to love our neighbor as ourself, as the rest of the commandments so clearly articulate. Back in the 7th century, the Venerable Bede said of the Lord's teaching here in Mark, "Neither of these two kinds of love, that is, love for God and love for neighbor, neither of these two kinds of love is expressed with full maturity without the other, because God cannot be loved apart from our neighbor, nor our neighbor apart from God." Hence, as many times as Peter was asked by our Lord if he loved him, this is in John 21, and attested love, the Lord added at the end of each inquiry, "Feed my sheep," or "feed my lambs," as if he were clearly saying, there is only one adequate confirmation of wholehearted love of God, laboring steadily for the needy in your midst, exercising continuing care of them. Do you hear how simple Christianity is? Although we are grateful for physicists, this is not rocket science. But it requires the surrender of the will, the surrender of the life to Christ. And as we do this, we will indeed say amen to St. Augustine. "He who hath created me without me will not justify me without me." And the same thing is true for each and every one of us. Have a blessed Friday.